You're listening to the Payments.com podcast series with Karen Webster, CEO of MPD, and Michael Abbott, digital lead for Accenture Financial Services North America.
You know, everyone has a different approach to working with clients in this space and helping them, you know, recognize the potential that digital enables. And, you know, I wrote a piece, I guess it was this week, I lose track of them, but you know, I think banks are at a real, they're challenged because there's a lot of things that they want to do, maybe not necessarily able to do, but you know, clearly there's this tension between want and capability. How are you helping them navigate that path?
Yeah, I think there's for us personally as Accenture, right? There's a number of different ways we're looking at that. You know, at one layer, it's all the things you would think of. Just basically having the core capabilities to accelerate what you already know you want to do. So many of the banks know what they need to do, and they just need to accelerate. That's what we've been helping them accelerate down that path. But I'd say the more interesting things that we're doing is more around two things: user-led design and value-based thinking. So saying, look, as you look at a problem, how do you step outside of the way you may have done it for the last, call it 15, 20 years? And how do you think of it from the user's perspective? How do you look at, you know, analogies or competitors that may not be directly in the banking space, but maybe in the retail space? And how do you bring that kind of thinking together for the banks? And how do you rethink the problems from there, from that perspective?
We've been tracking Apple Pay adoption for 2 years, and you know, the conclusion that we've drawn is that, you know, these are the early adopters, the affluent, you know, that were standing in line getting their iPhones. And the minute the iPhone 6 was available, only 3% of them bought the phone because of Apple Pay. They don't really view it as adding any value. And in fact, you know, the interest in trying it once, we've seen, because there are more people with iPhones, you know, kind of creeping up a little bit. But adoption is abysmal. I mean, we've seen it even decline slightly over, you know, from quarter to quarter. There's no value. There is no value. We ask the question, is using your phone more or less convenient than a swipe or a dip? And I would have thought if anything would have gotten people to drive to the mobile phone, it would have been the EMV experience, which we've all learned to hate.
That's true.
But you know, still nothing. People just like the familiarity of the card, the certainty of acceptance, the lack of utility of the mobile phone. I mean, we got to get that right, and I don't think it's going to happen with the current, you know, with the current environment. I think there has to be a whole new sea change. That's just my view.
You know, but just taking value for a second, you know, we went one step further and we asked people, what does it mean? Who would you be willing to have? You know, who should provide that value to? And a couple things. One, on who should provide the value, wide open. They'd be fine, yeah. if the big tech companies like Google and Apple did it. They'd be fine if the network companies like Visa and MasterCard would be fine if the banks did it. They actually really don't care who would provide the value.
They just want it.
The value. Yeah. It's quite simple. So it means a wide open playing field, to your point. You just have to have a different way of thinking about it. The second thing I tell you is value, everybody seems to equate value to discounts and offers. Right?
Yeah,
Give me something bad. We've learned through the design of thinking, value can be other things. For example, when you ask an average consumer and you say, look, if I printed the balance of your debit account on your card, or your bank account on your debit card, every time you pull it out, only you could see it, but you could see the balance right where you stood. Now you have that in your card. Do you ever want to let that go? No. Because it puts you in control of your financial experiences, right?
Yep.
So value in the mobile, in the sense of mobile wallet, may not be what we think it is. It may very well be something as simple as having your balance on your card and bringing it to life.
Yeah. Well, you know, I
think so that it's broader thinking than simply where we've been, I believe.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think we've unfortunately trained the consumer to think that everything has a price, you know, a 50% off price tag associated with it. And it is the, you know, it is the experience. The reason we fly one airline as much as we can is so that we can get on the stupid airplane first and get our bags in the overhead compartment. That's the only reason. Otherwise, it's not about price. It's about those things that add value. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, we've done some studies where we watch people in store, right, and watch how they shop. You know, and what you find they pull out their mobile phone with their bank app, and they check their balance, and they go swipe their card.
Yeah.
It's a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
So let me just connect two dots for you here. If you put the balance on the card in the mobile wallet, and you look at it, and then now contrast that with the fact that mobile bank app usage, that 80 to 90% of the mobile bank app usage is just simply people checking their balance. Imagine you're one API away from losing 80, 90% of the traffic on mobile bank apps to just probably into a mobile wallet.
I know.
It's an easier place to change. So that's the kind of interesting thinking that is probably going to need to take place before mobile payments take off.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about that. So, all right, so let's fast forward. It's a decade from now. Are we still going to be having this conversation?
No, I don't think so. I think it will break wide open. And, you know, I know we talked about the PSD2 and what's happening in Europe, but with the opening of the banks over there and the ability to assume that information into mobile wallets and other form factors and to open up payments, I think it's going to unleash a whole different set of innovations that may and most likely will make their way back around the world from that side. Is where I'd watch, interestingly enough, right now, I'd watch what happens in Europe with PSD2 for the future of what's going to happen here. And at the same time, I think you're going to see in the U.S. a recognition, like you mentioned earlier, around let the markets figure it out, that the markets will figure out that there's value to be had in figuring out how to work, how to make the mobile wallets have more value in them going forward. And if you look at what Google just announced with Walgreens, right,
mm-hmm.
with the smart tap technology they acquired, and the ability to kind of put your loyalty card in the wallet in one tap and deliver it, you know, if you think about it, we still today coupons are still paper for the most part across the country. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if you take that technology, you can build the equivalent of a Visa, MasterCard type network for value well beyond payments. So I think what you're going to see is you're actually going to see payments become not more visible, but I think you're going to see them become invisible and the value become what drives the adoption of payments.
Yeah, no, I agree. So you think PSD2 is a good thing?
I'm not going to pass judgment on PSD2. I think it's interesting, and what we're seeing on it is it's unleashing an incredible amount of different thinking, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'll leave it to the pundits to figure out whether it's a good thing or bad thing. But what is without a doubt doing is it is open, unleashing an incredible amount of innovation around the payments ecosystem in Europe, and we're seeing it every day.
Yeah, to protect the flanks of the bank and to figure out a business model. I mean, I think that's the thing I object to is. Let competitors and complementers figure out what the appropriate exchange of value is. I think that's the key.
I'm a big believer in the marketplace figuring it out too. But in this particular case, it is what it is.
Make lemonade out of lemons.
Exactly. So you've got to look at it, you've got to say what moves do you make against it, and then you'd watch how the innovation's occurring around it. And it's going to be a very interesting case study.
Yeah.